Hey guys.
Hello.
How's it going? We are back. You know, we're trying something a little new right now, and generally we have the music playing in as we're introing in, but we're not doing that this time, and it is a little bit of a downer, a little tiny bit.
It's a little weird not having the hype of the music to like get us going.
That's true. Good to be back.
Good to be back.
Feels like we've not done this in a long time.
Yeah.
But it also feels like we just did this yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the way that we record these isn't like once a week. We kind of sometimes we'll double up. Sometimes we'll just do kind of one. So a little bit hard to like figure out where we're at in the whole thing whenever I think back about recording.
Well, and I've been on vacation by this point. So I've had a week off. We had another couple of days here in Dallas where we had some ice hit us. So it's just kind of been weird.
We were all a little sick too.
Yeah, we've all been a little sick. I think there's like a stomach bug or something going around right now, which we all caught.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Isn't that great?
And we're our own worst enemies because we just can't stay away from each other. So we pass all of our germs on to one another.
That's true. Yeah, there must be something going around.
We just love each other so much.
You know, nothing like family.
Yeah.
Right?
Share everything.
Even sickness.
Even sicknesses. Mm-hmm.
Stomach bugs and such.
So that has been fun this week.
Yeah, it's been, everything's been all over the place. The weather is like crazy. And yesterday it was all gloomy outside. And whenever the weather is like gloomy outside, that like affects me a lot. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think I've always kind of been that way.
Well, I think a lot of people are that way. I definitely get like a lot more tired mm-hmm. whenever it's cloudy. It's like good sleeping weather whenever it's rainy out.
Yeah, but I feel like I've been sleeping too much and also not enough.
Yeah.
It's like that one, it's like the busy season for me right now. So like, I'm just like on my last legs with just about everything. So I haven't had the energy to do a whole lot, and the weather definitely hasn't been helping. Today it's all nice and sunny outside though.
Yeah, it's a great day today.
Hey sis.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah. I mean, food poisoning is a bitch.
Yeah,
but
it really, really is.
If it was food poisoning, I don't know. That's still up in the air. We're not quite sure what we got this week.
The food poisoning thing is one of like the worst things to get because it's the lead up to the throwing up, like can't get comfortable.
And you also have to differentiate because sometimes the throw up is because of something you have done to yourself. AKA you had a little too much to drink the night before. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that kind of throwing up is like, all right, I did this to myself. I deserve this. This is my punishment now. I'm just going to take it. We'll get through this. We'll be fine. And then there's the other kind of throwing up where it's like, I was just trying to survive by eating a meal that happened to have been contaminated. And now here we are, and my body is unleashing its fury on me, and I didn't even do anything but try to take care of you. And this is how I get repaid.
I had, I made the mistake, and I knew this going in, you know. I had a hankering for sushi, but not good sushi.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I did the buffet Bro-ski. Sushi. Yeah, maybe we'll bleep that part out.
Let's not name names.
Or maybe don't contaminate your food with the
See, I thought you were going to say you got it from the store, like the grocery store sushi.
No, I find that sushi to be cold and hard.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't like the Kroger HEB sushi
okay.
as much as I like.
Or like gas station sushi. Ooh, that's a risk.
You're going to go to a reputable source for sushi.
We had some good sushi right before we left on our trip to Puerto Rico. What was that place called? I actually would name drop that place if I could remember what it was called.
I don't know.
It was up here in Frisco.
Coco's? That's not it.
That's definitely not it.
Yeah, I was up there in Frisco. See if you can
Coco,
pull up the name.
The sign language gorilla, the gorilla? Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what, I'm going to say it started with a Coyo.
Well, explain what we had, because we actually had a very good smorgasbord of things.
Yeah, so we went out to celebrate the sis's birthday out there and had some sushi, and we got ourselves a good spread of a whole bunch of different stuff. And this is probably some of the most standout sushi that I've had in a while, and I like sushi a lot, and I go to a lot of different sushi places, but
we're not sushi snobs, I would say, but we definitely can appreciate a good spread of quality fish.
Yeah.
Good quality ingredients.
Yeah.
A nice presentation. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate that. So this place was called Kata Sushi Lounge, and that's in Frisco. So it's K-O-T-T-A. Kata Sushi Lounge. I think I'm saying that right. But it actually did win a couple of local awards.
And I can see why, because it was really, really good, really fresh, really clean.
I was very pleasantly surprised.
And we were trying to get in, we were trying to get a meal in before we went and saw a movie.
Yeah.
And generally you're going to wait a while for sushi. And we even got seated late and ordered. And I mean, it didn't seem like it was that much time in between it actually getting there and us being able to eat. And it was really, really good.
We got a mix of stuff. We got like a, I want to say we got a volcano roll, which had a little kick to it. It was perfect amount of kick. It wasn't too overpowering. We got a tuna tower.
Something called, I think, a Jackie Chan.
We got a Shrek, a Shrek roll, which I think, right?
There was something in there that had mango in it.
Yeah.
Which kind of caught me off guard a little bit because that's not something that I had thought would go in sushi, but it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I don't think we got a Shrek roll. I'm getting confused because we actually had sushi in Puerto Rico a couple of days later, and they had a Shrek roll, which was actually pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. How was the Puerto Rico thing?
Puerto Rico was great, man. I had never been before. I don't think you've ever been. Our sister Lori has been, so that's kind of where we got the recommendation from to go. It was great, though. I mean, it's part of the U.S. territories, but it does feel like you're international. I mean, you kind of are. You're on an island. It's a small island, but there's like so much to do there. I wish we would have had more time to like see more.
Really? How long were you there for?
So we were there for 5 days.
5 days. That's a long time.
It's a long time, man. And we just pretty much slept the whole time. Like, I feel like we were catching up on years and years of lost sleep.
Yeah.
You know, we're parents. We have a almost 1.5 year old. So we pretty much haven't slept in a while.
Yeah. I would imagine that was a very refreshing trip be on.
Highly recommend. And this is also our first trip that we've taken post-COVID. I mean, I know we're still kind of in it, but this is our first trip that we've taken that long away from the baby, just me and the hubs. The most refreshing thing.
See, because I had just gotten back from Cabo right before you left, and we were there for like a weekend, essentially. So we got there on Friday, spent the whole day there Saturday, and then we left, you know, Sunday afternoon, something like that.
That's
which
in and out, man. That's such like an in and out trip. I mean, you really can't even do Mexico. You can, obviously, you can do it that quick if you need a quick trip. But in order to relax, and I will say that was our deal too. You know, we had been on little weekend trips here and there, little getaways for a night or two, maybe three tops. But it really wasn't until like that third day when we were away that I finally like was able to just let it all go. And
really?
Just relax finally.
Do you get the trip anxiety? Does it take you a little while to settle in?
Yeah. For sure. Because, I mean, you're in a new place, you know, new surroundings, new bed. It's not your pillow.
Yeah. It always takes me at least a day, maybe a day and a half to be like, all right, kind of like relax and kind of get into the groove of things.
Well, then added on to that, it's the first time we've left Liam for that long amount of time, both of us away from him. So I had that mom guilt of like, oh my gosh, is he okay?
Did that affect the trip at all, do you think?
Well, it just affected the settling in. It took me a little bit to like calm down and just realize like everything's okay. He's in great hands. His aunties are taking care of him. It's all fine.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to almost finish a whole book.
That's true. What book was that?
I can't remember the last time I've almost finished a whole book.
A physical book.
An actual physical book, which was one that you gifted me right before I left. I was so glad you gave that to me because it went right in the bag that I was taking with me.
The thick book, too.
It was a very thick book. It was something, the guide to The Office and like the making of the show, the U.S. series, The Office, and just kind of like gave you a lot of behind the scenes insights onto the making of the show and the cast of characters and the behind the cameras people. And
we're a big Office family, so
Office geeks.
That's kind of like right up. All right. Any big takeaways that you got? Little tidbits you want to leave with the listeners?
It was a really good book, and I really wish I could remember the actual title so people could go pick it up. Because if you're an Office head, you'll really appreciate this book because they on the side, like the margins, they also give you like extra content that's not just in the book. You get extra insights on the people and who the different cast of players are. But biggest takeaway, I mean, I just gleaned that everyone who was a part of it just appreciated how much Greg Daniels, who was pretty much like
the showrunner,
the creator. Yeah. I mean, he was the one who brought the show over to the U.S. To make it what it is. He was the one who really championed for getting the show to run at all. And then one of the other executive producers, I think his name is Brian something. Just how much everyone like admired these two guys for just sticking in there and taking the beat down constantly and not knowing if the show was going to make it past the first couple of episodes, let alone the first season, and then season after season, just hoping that it would continue to be an achievement and, you know, through the trials and tribulations of whatever it means to get a show aired and have a successful show at that.
An incredibly successful show. Incredibly kind of a cultural icon at this point what that show was able. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said, and I admire the people who are so passionate about something that they can stick out how tough it can be, because I'm in that situation right now where I'm having to figure out like how much effort do I want to put into like this or that kind of a thing, and being able to like stick it out, it's super, super encouraging. And then look at the end result that they ended up kind of coming up with.
Yeah. Just like a lifetime achievement kind of a thing.
Well, while we're on the subject of book recommendations, I'm about to start rereading a book called Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey.
That's a good one. You also gave me that one and read it all the way through.
Great, great book. If you are looking for something to read, I would encourage you to actually listen to that book on Audible. That's how I listened to it the first time. And Matthew McConaughey actually reads that book that he wrote himself, and to get his inflection on certain stories. And he kind of throws in a little bit of extra info in there. Really, really easy to listen to. Really, really good book. A lot of really cool little takeaway. He called them bumper stickers. He calls them tidbits of information that are just really good if you're looking for a book recommendation.
Yeah, that was definitely a good one.
But this isn't a podcast about books now, is
no.
it? What is this a podcast about, sis?
This is a podcast called The Macaroni Rascals, a Jersey Shore podcast, where we're bringing you a lot of content that you did not ask for.
That's exactly right. We're a couple of episodes in already.
We're over halfway done with the season.
That's crazy.
Very crazy.
Because it feels like we've been doing this for like a year.
Yeah.
It's only been a couple of weeks. There's a lot of effort that goes into a podcast, turns out.
To laugh at our own jokes. All right.
Here we go. So today we are going to be discussing, having a little commentary on episode 7.
What happens in the AC? The air date was January 14th, 2010. And here's the summary. The roommates head to Atlantic City. Before leaving, Sammy and Ronnie confront the other roommates about their self-isolation. Mike's date has a rude awakening when her friend comes looking for her in the morning. Tensions build between Mike and the other roommates, initially with Vinny, whom Mike's sister is crushing on. Fun turns to fury when Mike manages to antagonize both Snooki and JWoww. Snooki reveals that she used to have an eating disorder during dinner, and JWoww shows her aggressive side as built-up anger is released on this trip away from the shore.
Before we started recording a couple of days ago, you sent me a text saying that you had started watching episode 7 and that there was so much to cover.
Yeah.
I didn't realize what exactly you meant until I watched the episode earlier today. There's so much that happens in this episode. It's almost like overload of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, because there is so much that happens, as you just heard in that short summary that wasn't actually that short. There's so much dynamic shift that's happening in this episode, which kind of harkens back to one of the earlier episodes. I feel like it's the one where Angelina leaves. That episode also has a lot that happens, and it's just transitional stuff. It's moving everything along.
Do you think a lot of this drama is born out of everyone being pretty like settled into their personalities, pretty comfortable with everyone, that now almost the true colors are starting to come out of how everyone operates?
Well, that, and I feel like at this point, we're still kind of, I feel unclear about how long they have been in the house together. But as anyone who's ever lived with anyone else for extended periods of time, you know, someone who's maybe not a spouse, someone who's not a child, a dependent child or something like that, a roommate situation, you know that that person is at some point or another, and probably a lot more than you would like, will get on your nerves. And so I feel like that's probably what's happening to the roommates here, is that they're all starting to get tired of each other now and tired of your BS and don't BS a BSer because you're going to get it right back at you. I think that's what's kind of boiling over in this episode.
It seems like easy issues for them to avoid, but speaking as someone who used to go on tour for the summers with a band, I can speak for like being in the same van and the same hotels and the same places with those people for that long. It does get old.
And as someone, I'm going to speak as someone who has had almost nearly every single sibling pretty much move in with me at some point or another. I can also attest to that.
That's so true. You and I have our own little history with that, which maybe we'll get into, on another podcast, maybe one day that goes into our little stories, maybe. Yeah, hint, hint. Stay tuned for some different developments there.
I got a little pot of gold there, maybe.
All that to say, there's a lot going on in this episode. How does it start?
We're pretty much picking up the night where we left off in episode 6. So Ron and Sam are on the balcony. They're rehashing the events of the night. And if you remember, if you haven't listened to episode 6, first of all, go back and listen to it because all of this will make a whole lot more sense as we're talking. But if you don't remember what happened, so Ron and Sam ended up getting into a fight with an older couple on the boardwalk as they were trying to walk home from the bar this night. For whatever reason, this couple just like had it out for them. Ron ends up getting smacked down pretty hard. Actually, I think he does more damage to this little guy than he receives, but still, Ron's face is effed the heck up.
Yeah.
It is so swollen. It's like, it's shiny because of how swollen it is.
Yeah, he like constantly has like some kind of ice pack or something on the side of his face.
He's icing his poor swollen face. Sammy is crying because Ron quote unquote pushed her.
Mm-hmm.
I still maintain that it was just a nudge to get her to stop antagonizing the situation.
They replayed a clip of that nudge. I would classify it as a level above a nudge, like, but not quite a shove.
An intense nudge?
It was intense. She moved back a little bit. Whenever I saw it again, I was like, okay, that's more than a nudge.
It was enough to make her step
warranted,
off to
though.
The side. Like, it was,
I get what he was trying to do.
I mean, yeah. He was trying not to get himself beat up
right
in that moment, which it didn't work.
No.
And now he's got Sam crying, saying that she's a victim in all of this.
Of course.
Yeah, so whatever. They both end up apologizing and they go inside, and Mike and Polly are laying in bed at this point. And Mike says, well, you know, that's why I always try to have us all stick together. Comments on that?
Mike's always saying stuff, you know?
He's always trying to be the knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
He's trying to portray himself as more chivalrous than I think he actually is.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because, again, he says a lot of stuff and never does any of those things that he's actually saying. So, again, that's just one of those Mike comments you can kind of just blow off because it doesn't really hold much weight.
At this point, they kind of shift the conversation and Sam ends up confronting the roommates, you know, starting with Mike and Polly. And she just point blank asks them, which, you know, I admire her for just coming out with it. Is there a problem with me hanging out with Ronnie? She's questioning them. She wants to know. And this is coming from what Snooks had said earlier this night at the bar. Snooks came up to them and was saying that they needed to have like a family meeting or something because the roommates are annoyed with how much Ron and Sam are just kind of isolating themselves. Mm-hmm. So this is Sam confronting the roommates and starting to figure out what's actually going on here. Like, who has a problem and who's talking behind my back? Because that's not cool. Mike says, I'm going to be honest. Pauses for effect. The only thing we care about is getting girls and going to the gym. So it's not Mike and Polly, she concludes. You know, it's not them that has an issue. Moves on. They actually head downstairs and Ron like makes Snooki hang up the phone. I don't know who she was on the phone with, but he like makes her hang up to have their family meeting that she wanted to have. And you can tell Snooks is nervous already. Did you notice the look on her face? She's like, didn't think they would actually circle back around to that.
Yeah, it's like, or at least this quickly.
Not this quickly, I thought maybe, you know, him getting punched in the face would kind of cancel out.
I was kind of hoping I'd have time to, like, go talk to everyone else so that we could organize here.
Be on the same page.
Catch me off guard.
Not so much. Yeah. So she starts trying to explain herself, but keeps explaining in the context of we. She keeps saying, well, we all have this issue. We just think y'all need to da 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 da.
Little deflection.
Yeah. Mike asks, well, wait, who's we? So Mike is the one who's looking for that clarification now, interestingly.
Because he doesn't want to be
looped in.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's not his fight, quote unquote.
And she says again, well, everyone in the house. Everyone. Who's we? Everyone in the house. And Ron and Sam are mad because Snooks is making it seem like all the roommates were trash talking when really it's just Snooks who has the problem. And when they call her out on that, she gets overwhelmed and just ends up walking out of this confrontation.
Now, I don't think it's Snooks is the only one who has the problem. I think she's the only one who's got to the point of vocalizing the problem because throughout these episodes, that comment has come in because it is true. Sam and Ronnie kind of do their own thing.
In the confessionals, a couple of the roommates at this point have corroborated that it is annoying that Ron and Sam have kind of started to be in their own little world by this point.
But it hasn't annoyed them enough for this to be a thing.
Not enough for it to be a family meeting that they'd never agreed to
have.
You know, Snooks is just kind of I don't know why.
It's just one of those things.
I don't know,
man.
This tactic.
It's just one of those things. I think she had just held it in for so long and wanted it to be out there so bad. And this is just the form and the opportunity that presented itself to get the info out there.
It does feel like she's causing drama for drama's sake.
Oh, really? I didn't pick it up that way. I picked it up as Snooki genuinely wanting to have a good time with everyone and feeling that everyone is having a good time except for Ronnie and Sam for some reason. I think it's coming out from a selfish kind of a standpoint.
Yeah.
Especially.
Which she does try to explain. She's like, if y'all are going to be mad at me for wanting to hang out with you, then I'm sorry I said anything in the first place.
It's a very silly argument.
Yeah.
The whole thing's very silly, but it's serious to them in this moment.
Because this is their whole world. So
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're at the next day. Ron and Sam are laying in bed. They basically come to the conclusion that Snooks and Jen are the one who are jealous of their relationship. And I feel like this is kind of like where we start getting that, just this very palpable tension that starts building between Sammy and JWoww.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, like, I guess Sammy is intimidated by Jenny in the house from this point on. First of all, she does not like that Ron and Jen have been friends pretty much since day one.
Right.
She's got a problem with that.
I think that
relationship.
I think that is the big issue that she has, that she kind of takes into all this, is just that one. Because, you know, Sammy's a very possessive, insecure kind of a person. So anyone kind of being in her way is going to already kind of put her on that list of, I don't really want to deal with you, or I don't know how to deal with you kind of a thing. Interestingly, JWoww, I feel it has gotten very little play in these last couple of episodes.
Yeah.
She's kind of been on the outskirts.
I noticed that as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's been very light on the Jenny front.
But JWoww makes a big appearance when she comes back into the show. It's with a bang.
Oh, man. We'll get to that. Let's not spoil it for anyone. So at this point, you know, Ron is basically telling Sam, well, if they're going to hate on us, then let's hate on them too. Which I was like, whoa, man. Like, such an aggressive way to come at that situation.
It feels to me like they are just tired and they don't really have the energy levels to put on the, like, we'll just kind of make this okay. Kind of feels like the breakdown of those niceties and those kind of false personalities are kind of starting to break down the further along they are into this whole kind of, you know, journey.
It's more like, I'm not trying to make friends anymore. It's just like, I'm trying to get through this, this last week or two, whatever it is.
It feels like battle. It feels like everyone's just in it really struggling right now.
Anyway, Sammy kind of chalks it up to girl drama. And I think she kind of even makes a comment towards, like, this is why I don't have girlfriends. It's just like, this is the stuff that always seems to get in the way. So, which I feel like is kind of a two-way street. You know, she is an insecure girl. I mean, I feel like it kind of takes two on that front.
For sure.
You don't have girlfriends because you let this stuff affect you so much.
Yeah.
So a little later, outside on the patio, Ron confronts Jenny about all of this. But, you know, even though Jenny agrees that Ron is a different person now that he's with Sam, she doesn't say that to Ron. And she ends up letting Snooki kind of take the full blame for stirring up this drama, which I didn't love.
Yeah, I that kind of turned me off to JWoww.
Yeah.
Which, again, I'm kind of thinking back, and maybe she's just so beat down by all of this stuff that she's just like, whatever, I don't want to be a part of this, or
like I didn't ask for this, so don't loop me in.
Because it's so strange that she would almost throw Snooki under the bus like that, because them two are probably the closest ones out of the, like the group, you know, at least, you know, their little group. They're always together, kind of going through all this stuff.
Out of the girls, they definitely have the closest relationship, I feel, at this point.
So it seems a little out of character for JWoww to have kind of shifted the blame towards Snooki on this, which, I mean, I guess fair. Snooki is the one who brought it up and, you know, threw, got everyone involved in something that is her issue, at least outwardly it is her issue. So,
and again, we're only seeing what they're giving us to see. You know, there could have been a lot more dialogue in this confrontation that got cut out, you know.
It's still kind of a weird offshoot little kind of interaction that we end up kind of seeing before the rest of the episode kind of takes off.
So Ron encourages at this point Sam not to confide in Snooki anymore, and Sam happily obliges and throws Jenny in there for good measure. She's like, well, I don't trust, you know, I don't trust Snooks. I don't trust Jenny. I don't trust no one in this house.
And then they immediately all have a conversation. Like Snooki ends up going back in and says, hey, we need to talk. And Sam's like, okay.
Yeah. A little later, Snooks runs upstairs to find Sam, and she, you know, wants to apologize for what happened the previous night, which again, like, I just commend Snooks for doing that. I mean, she really didn't have to go out of her way to try and fix this situation. But I think she did truly feel bad for miscommunicating what actually was going on. She tries re-explaining that all she wanted was for everyone to be able to hang out in these last 2 weeks. Snook wants, or actually Sam rather, at this point, wants to have the conversation with Jenny. So they end up confronting her. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Snooks explains herself better in her confessional than in the actual situation. Yeah. I don't know if you caught that. I was like, if you would just say what you're saying right now to Sam in front of Jenny, like, all of this I feel could be cleared up very quickly. But I don't think the point is taken on Sam's end the way Snooks wanted it to come out. And it's kind of sad because Snooks just ends up apologizing, you know?
Which she does a lot.
Yeah, she does a lot.
Because Snooki cannot thrive in that environment where there is that kind of underlying negativity.
Intention against her. Yeah, she just can't do well.
So whatever she can say, almost the same thing that Mike does. Whatever, you know, I've got a note in here later on that says Mike is really good at a quick fix.
Yeah.
Which Snooki is too, real good at kind of patching things up immediately. Hers tend to last a little bit longer than Mike's does.
So a little bit later, we're at that evening, we're at CJ's draft house, bar, something or other.
CJ's.
It's actually not open anymore. I did check in to see if it existed anymore. It's permanently closed.
When did it close, you know?
You know, I actually had trouble finding the exact one, so I could only find something that was in Seaside Heights in general, so I don't even know if that's the exact one.
Interesting.
But whatever CJ's is there, it's permanently closed. So if
don't go looking for it.
Yeah, if you were looking forward to a visit there, don't put CJ's on your list.
Yeah. I wonder what else is open down there. I wonder if Karma's is still open.
I don't think it is. I think it actually closed in 2015 or 16, something
really?
Like that.
Just no more club bangers out there.
Something about like financial something or other.
Well, you know.
They were having trouble paying the bills or something.
That's fair. It's a lot of LEDs.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All that to say, Polly's making a guest DJ appearance here on this evening. Yeah. And this is where the infamous Paula Picard comes and makes her first, but certainly not last, appearance. And she is basically a super cute little girl. She's super tiny little brunette. You don't think she's cute? I think she's cute.
No.
She's a hot mess. I think she's cute.
She's got my mom's name.
Oh, yeah, Paula.
And that kind of just cuts everything off. Yeah, for me.
I think she's cute. She's basically Mike's on again, off again, hookup / girlfriend, question mark?
Yeah.
Throughout.
Something like that.
Throughout many of. Yeah. She's definitely. She's a party girl.
She's fun.
She's a good time. Her and Mike are very similar, I feel like, and that's why they get along.
They just kind of leech off each other a little tiny bit.
Yeah. Ben is hanging out with Tanya again. I was not expecting to see her
Third date.
For a third date. So yeah. If you don't remember, a couple of episodes ago, Vinny got himself in a little bit of hot water because he ended up stealing what we would find out was actually Danny, the boss's date.
Yeah, good
who
guy
is
Danny.
Tanya, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's hanging out with Tanya again. Snooks meets a guy named Keith at the bar.
Yeah, Farmer Keith.
It's not her usual flavor of guy, but he has muscles, so that's why we're
which
here.
I love the odd couple coupling of them
I
two together.
I for sure loved this matchup.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what ends up happening with them. We'll probably find out in the next episode.
Yeah.
But I actually don't mind this match.
I loved it.
I thought it was really cute. He's totally. The Irish cowboy.
Yeah.
Mike is being super sweet on Paula this night, like on their walk home. They're holding hands. He's carrying her. They decide to go get in the hot tub with some champagne.
Yeah.
It looks to be like a bottle of Korbel or like Andre. It's like the $4 bottle of champagne. It's
Yum.
Not fancy at all.
Delicious.
And it tastes awful.
Yeah. It's like rotten apple juice that burns in your mouth.
So bad. They're having a good time, though. Her one rule for the evening, though, is that she absolutely has to be up by 7 the next morning.
Right.
She doesn't give a reason as to why. That's just her only rule mm-hmm. for how the rest of this evening
right.
is going to go.
We'll see if that happens.
Snooks is walking home with Keith and can't stop talking about being a vet
yeah.
and saving animals uh-huh. and how she's missing her last semester of vet school to be there, which I thought was an interesting insight. I had no idea that she was even in school to be a vet tech.
I've got that same note here. I thought it was interesting that A, she was in school,
yeah.
B, that she would miss her last semester to do this. What really surprised me is how much that weighed on her.
That's a good way to put it, like how much it was weighing on her mm-hmm. that she just couldn't be there to finish what she started.
Mm-hmm. Which just goes to show you how dedicated Snooki really is.
Yeah.
And you see that mostly in how she treats the rest of the family. Like she's dedicated to the family, to the
committed.
Cast members.
She yeah. is good at being committed.
Yeah.
Irish cowboy farmer Keith comes in hot with his Nike slogan at mm-hmm. this point, and he says, "The biggest risk in life is not taking a risk at all."
Which is not untrue, to be fair. Snooki took a risk to leave her college to come to the show, and she's doing pretty well off of that risk. So mm-hmm. it, pretty wise words coming from probably an unwise man. I don't know Keith, so I'm not really sure how his life ended up, but not untrue.
Back at the house, Vin and Tanya are laying in the hammock on the upper deck patio, and Mike and Paula are making out in the hot tub nearby. And Tanya at one point like pops her head up and she, you know, whispers to Vinny, I think they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear some noises. There's some jostling happening over yonder.
It's very intense what's going on in the jacuzzi.
And I mean, obviously we can't see what's happening below the waterline, so
it's a lot.
Ultimately it's unconfirmed, but it would be likely that there was something happening. And then Snook shows up with
Farmer Keith.
And ends up breaking it up, which Mike is not all too thrilled about.
Right.
So at this point, Mike and Paula decide to head inside. And on the way down from this upper deck patio, Paula eats it hardcore on these steps on the way down, which is just like, you can feel how hard she falls. It hurts my like little shin bones.
It was a bassy fall. Okay.
I think I'm supposed to laugh there, but I
was just saying it's bassy. Like you felt
like
it.
Count bassy?
Maybe that was just in my, because I've got a surround sound system, so when she fell, like
you could really hear
the sub like kicked off.
Okay.
So it was a deep it was a deep fall. I'm doing Italian fingers
yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
You are, you
convey.
Are.
All right, maybe we'll cut that part out. Don't know.
I was like, I think there's a joke in there somewhere, and I'm trying to get it.
Just a general observation.
What does Count Basie have to do with anything?
Who is Count Basie?
It's like a famous jazz artist, jazz musician
oh,
from like
really?
Back in the day.
Huh.
Yeah.
I must have missed him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I probably did
miss
him.
Well, we all did.
Well, somebody did.
But his work lives on. Okay. So. All right.
Shout out to Count Basie.
She must have fallen at least 3 steps down, if not more, dude. And she's definitely bruised up from
It was enough to warrant a laugh from everyone.
That for sure hurt. So Snooks and Keith go snuggle in her bed, and Snook determines that because he's a nice guy, well, the exact quote is, he's a nice freaking guy, that he's got to be clean. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah. She definitely has some other ideas in mind, but it doesn't seem like they do anything.
Keith, he's got to be clean.
Nice freaking guy, got to be clean.
It sounds like a slogan or something like that.
You got to be fresh. Where's that from?
Workaholics.
Yeah. Great show. I restarted watching that recently.
Oh, nice. That's a great show. Maybe we'll start a podcast about that.
Oh, good one.
No, probably not.
So Mike and Paula, you know, they kind of slink into bed. They're obviously still wet from the hot tub, which is just like
gross.
Getting in bed wet. Ooh.
Yeah.
Especially from hot tub water. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even clean water.
Yeah, you're like slimy kind of.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no good.
No good at all. And you know they're not washing those sheets. They're not washing any of their bed sheets in this house.
Nah, I didn't
know
that.
Because think about it. They don't have a washer and dryer there.
Yeah.
They're not taking those sheets in to be washed.
And those rooms have to smell like a back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. And I think I was...
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
I think I was omitting that.
Yeah. Moving right along. Mm. I know, I really grossed you out on that
one.
You
did. I can't stop thinking about it.
I know. I can see it on your face.
I imagine it smells like my dorm did. Not my specific dorm, but the dormitory that I stayed in college. Very thick atmosphere.
Ooh. Ooh.
Community bathrooms, man. We had community bathrooms. I look back on that, and I was okay with it back then, but I can't believe that I did that.
I never had such experiences. When I was in college, I always made it a point to be able to live in an apartment, either by myself or just with one roommate. And girls live differently than guys do, so.
Yeah, the girl's side of the dorm always smelled like flowers.
Yeah.
The guy's side of the room smelled like a foot.
God, that's disgusting.
We had some good times.
Ooh.
That's a story for another time.
So we're out the next morning. We get a kind of a new secondary character here for just a split second. Lauren, who is Paula's friend, is rampaging up to the house early this one morning.
Yeah.
In the most tie-dye of tie-dye shirts.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
That was like something that you buy at Planet Hollywood or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, that's like quintessential bright tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, that must have been a new purchase for her because it was so vibrant. It wasn't washed out at all.
Very vibrant. Either that or she's got, you know, some trick to keeping her colors vibrant in the wash.
Is there a trick to do that?
I'm sure there is. That's why all my clothes are faded. How should I know?
Lauren's not going to know what that trick is.
She does have a mom look about her. And I will say she acts very momly in this moment. Mm. Because everyone is dead asleep except for Mike, who's the first one to like pop his head up because she is pounding on this door. He assumes it's for him. And her fist is about to come through the window of this door. It's kind of scary. It's like jarring. If you were to wake up to that, it is jarring.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's the first one to wake up because he thinks it's the police coming for him. Right. And I just have to say, like, when that's the first thing that comes to your mind, there's a problem, man.
Yeah.
Like, you need to reevaluate. Little Paula apparently missed her first day at work.
Which is the reason why she said she needed to be out by 7, which
we come to realize. Yeah, so Lauren has come to collect. Lauren is frantic, kind of. She's like, your mom's been calling me. No one knows where you are. You missed your first day of work. What are you doing? Like, what is going on here?
Which I thought was interesting because how did she find where she went?
Yeah.
I would like a show on Lauren's investigative tactics in order to track Paula down.
That's a good point. I mean, I'm sure someone from production something.
Would they just randomly her walking around screaming then again, Paula's name?
I mean, maybe, but then again, it's such a small community there, I feel like everyone knows everyone in the area. Maybe someone saw Paula leave with them, and so she called around to the
bars.
Friends.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like, I didn't see your car anywhere, or I don't know.
It all leans into what you said earlier of Lauren being a mom, because mm-hmm. I feel like only a mom would have the abilities to find someone based off of very little information.
Exactly. So she lights her ass up in the way that makes me think she's more of a big sister figure than a friend.
Uh-huh.
I saw so much of me in that Lauren girl too, by the way. How did I know where you were at BK earlier?
Yeah.
BK Lounge.
Yeah.
How did I know?
You didn't put me on blast for eating the Burger King.
And you also stiffed me on a Burger King meal.
Look, we don't have a Burger King close to where I live.
We don't have a Burger King close either.
I appreciate a Burger King every now and then. It's a great burger.
So when I see that you're there on Find My Friends and I ask you, you know, for some BK Lounge and then I don't get a response, I'm pretty annoyed.
Wait, did you text me?
Yeah, check.
Okay, I'm going to pull this up right now, folks. Hold on.
Check it. I said, I think I said something like, I want some BK Lounge too, because mm-hmm. I saw you were there. And then when I checked again a minute later, you were like cruising on the highway. I was like, dang, he missed it.
Yeah, I was gone. I was chowing down on my BK Lounge.
Stiffed me.
This episode brought to you by Burger King, the king of the burgers. Charbroiled Whopper for your troubles? Please, and thank you.
Where were you going with that?
I'm fueled by the BK Lounge right now, so it's just a bunch of nonsense.
Oh man, my stomach hurts, man.
That's gonna go in the highlights for sure.
That was good. It's like waiting for the end to come and for it to like get to a point, and it never did.
I was in the BK zone just then.
Mike,
Lauren.
Yeah. So Mike runs to the shower to hide at this point because mm-hmm. he doesn't want to deal with
anything. Bails immediately.
I won't even say it.
Don't say it. We'll cut it out.
Like the little coward that he is.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair because that's exactly what he does.
Move, yeah, you know,
it was. Like, he's like, ooh, trouble that I'm involved in.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to deal with it.
Right.
That's his move.
Exactly his move.
Pulling the chute.
Paula can't seem to find her clothes anywhere, so she ends up leaving in one of Mike's shirts and a pair of his PJ pants.
Yeah, very saggy.
Which Lauren, like, laughs at. She's like, so you're just going to take this guy's clothes and you're going to leave your clothes here. Cowboy Keith spent the night with Snooks, obviously, mm-hmm. and although there was no funny business between them, Snooks is in love already, and she's saying that she's going to save herself for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's head over heels already.
Yeah.
Mike and Vinny are getting on to each other. Mike is annoyed that Vin and Tanya were spying on him and Paula
mm-hmm.
the previous night. So
right.
Vinny says, I would never want to be like you when I'm 27, Mike. Mike goes, dude, you have no game. And then Vin hits back quickly with, that's not what your sister thinks.
To which Mike quickly hits back with, well, I'm the one who set up the whole, made the introductions, all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, he's like trying to redeem himself, but that was a killer.
It was a killer move.
Yeah.
He couldn't recover from that.
So they're already, the tension is starting to build up between them.
Very
now.
Much so.
That night, they're at Karma. Mike's sister, Melissa, is back to hang out for the evening. Sam is looking for Ronnie at some point. They get separated mm-hmm. at the club, so Sam ends up kind of going on a search for him. And Mike sees that she's looking for him, so he decides to help her out and points out that he's outside talking to a random girl. Like, he very clearly points through the crowd, like, look, there he is talking to some lady.
Uh-huh.
As a side note, within this footage that's cutting through, you know, Sam seeing Ron talking to this girl, Mike being devious, I swear that I peeped Roger in the background. Now, we haven't met Roger yet. He's coming up in a future episode here pretty quickly, but Roger ends up being a love interest for Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear I peeped him in the background talking to Jenny on this night.
Really?
Which I thought was interesting because he does not get introduced yet in this episode.
I miss stuff like that. You see all those little tiny things that kind of go in there, which I guess goes back to how they're editing all this kind of stuff up.
Yeah.
Which maybe is why Jenny's not getting that much play, because there's really not that much going on with her because she's preoccupied with
something. Well, her storyline, I think, is coming up. Like, they're probably editing to save all of her stuff for her in one of the upcoming episodes.
Everyone gets their shining moment kind of a thing.
I guess so.
I haven't watched the rest of the episode. Yeah, you may be right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So anyway, Sam ends up confronting Ron. Ron is pissed. Ron's pissed because he knows that Mike is creeping on Sam.
Yeah.
Still, Mike thinks he still has a shot.
Somehow.
Mike is pretty much just watching and waiting and like watching this little time bomb destruct. Also, we get Polly, a scene where Polly is talking to the infamous Danielle.
Oh, man. She makes her first appearance.
Yes. And again, certainly not her last appearance. But
no.
Danielle and Paula end up being, you know, pretty substantial secondary characters to the main cast.
They leave a mark on everyone in
Yeah. Yes. So she will actually come to be well known in the series as the stalker. but we'll get more into that later. I'm not going to spoil.
Little tease for you.
The upcoming episode.
Stay tuned to figure out what that's about.
Mike's sister Melissa is hanging all over Vinny as Mike hovers nearby. Uh-huh. And then Tanya walks in and sees Vinny with Melissa. And Vinny immediately pulls the ripcord on Melissa. So now Melissa is pissed and she's telling her brother Mike all about it. Mike weirdly confronts Vinny and tells him he needs to do right by his sister, which I can't tell if that's sweet or just creepy.
Yeah, that would be like a best case scenario for me if that happened to one of you guys, because I'd be like, great, you know, that's one less thing that I have to worry about. But I think Mike is so I don't know what it is. It's like he wants to be right above all else. He's like, I hooked you up with my sister, and so now you better stay with my sister now kind of thing. It is weird.
It's very weird.
But I also get him maybe from the standpoint of, well, don't be a douche to my sister. Like, don't do that. You know, at least tell her you want to go to Tanya or something. It is weird.
Vin ends up choosing, you know, the Melissa route because it's a for sure thing, as he explains it, which that's not a great reason to choose anyone.
No, but he is 21, 22, so.
Yeah, he's only got one thing on his mind at this point.
Yeah, whatever.
So we're back at the house, and Vin and Melissa are outside flirting. She's sitting in his lap, and Mike is watching in horror from inside.
He's like, what's happening right now?
And I'm just like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, you literally just told Vinny that he needs to stick with your sister.
Which I feel, did you think that Vinny made that choice as a dig to Mike?
Yes.
Do you think that, like, provocated the whole thing?
It's a for sure thing. And then two, he wants to dig it at Mike. So Vinny says, Mike, are you watching? As he's, like, flirting with Melissa.
We get the infamous Vinny eyebrows from the intro in this episode and his talking headshot.
Polly and Danielle are on the upper deck patio. They're sitting on the couch, the lounge area that's right up there. There's a 2 liter of Pepsi on the table in front of them. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't.
Full 2 liter of Pepsi. They're not drinking anything, so I don't know why that's just sitting up there.
Just one of those things.
So essentially, Danielle's trying to convince Polly that he needs to go visit her homeland in Israel.
Man, this lady is intense, like right off the bat.
Yeah. She really loves being Jewish. She's just like going on about like how she loves her religion.
Yeah.
She just like loves the culture, which is great.
Yeah.
It just seems like an odd place to take this conversation.
It's very upfront. I'm doing the Italian thing
quit?
Again. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
It's very upfront of her to just like come right out of the gate with that.
At some point, Paulie just goes, you know, in his confessional, I don't even understand that religion or what it is. I just want to get to the business.
Yeah.
You know, that's all that's
like,
on.
So that's
going
to be my mission for the summer. This is going to be hard, but I'm willing to tough it out.
He's trying to convince her to go upstairs, and he fails hard because she says she's not supposed to have premarital relations, and whoever put that Hebrew man singing in the background as she says this to him during this revelation is wrong for that.
I did not catch that at all, dude.
And just the look on Polly's face as it's good. So no dice for Polly D on this night, but he's excited for the challenge.
Yeah, it's
to come.
A challenge that gets him pumped.
Cut to upstairs. Ron and Sam are confronting Mike about his claim that he saw Ron talking with a girl at the club.
Mm-hmm.
Ron is so guilty too in this moment that as they're asking Mike the question, Ron is death staring Mike and shaking his head no, as if he's trying to like telepathically lead Mike to get Ron off the hook in this. Mike is visibly nervous.
He's cornered.
He's caught in the crossfire of Ron and Sam. Mm-hmm. So he starts covering his ass by saying that he may have seen it wrong.
It was far away.
It was 50 yards away. It was
100 miles away.
Blah, blah, blah.
How was I supposed to know?
It was a telescope. You know, there's things are not the reliable.
Moon, the moon was hitting at this angle and the refraction.
Yep.
It's all kinds of stuff. So who knows?
Who knows?
He was confident when he first brought it up at the club.
He was very confident when Ron wasn't around call him on it.
I got very much a dog that's been cornered vibes from, he's just like, hey,
between the legs. to make yourself look smaller than
I
you are.
I will say anything to get out of the position that I'm in right now.
Ron wants nothing to do with fake friends, as he calls Mike, and he ends up walking away. Sam is left behind, still trying to get the full truth from Mike, but he continues to cover up by saying he wasn't sure what he saw.
Right. And then it immediately cuts to the next scene of Mike eating his feelings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The whole thing.
Oh,
he's downing apple juice. He's eating fried rice, which I thought was an interesting inclusion into the whole thing, because literally immediately after he's in that uncomfortable situation, he's downstairs eating.
But again, it's also showing, that he deny, and run away from any kind of anything that I caused.
Yeah.
Not taking accountability.
He doesn't. Again, he's good at a quick fix, and this is temporarily patched up, and he'll ride that for the next 10 to 20 minutes before he says something else very stupid.
Right. So cut to later that night. Melissa is staying the night on this particular night, and she crawls into bed with her brother, Mike.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to share his twin bed with her, rightly so. Uh-huh. I mean, there's barely enough space for him as a person now to add his sister on there. She doesn't have a bed to sleep in. So he ends up moving to Sam's bed, which is in the same room. It's Polly, Mike, and Sam who are sharing a room together.
Right.
But Sam and Ron have, at this point, moved into the guest room.
Right.
Because that's one bed that they can share.
The smush
fit
room.
In comfortably. Yeah. So Mike ends up moving to Sam's bed so that his sister can have his own bed, which I have to say is really a bad move on his part, because Melissa ends up sneaking down to Vinny's bed.
Oh,
and
yes.
There's definitely some hanky-panky going on.
There's definitely something going on. Yeah, Mike shot himself in the foot with that
once again.
If his mission was to make sure that she didn't find Vinny later on that night, the best thing he could have done was have her close enough to feel shifting going on the bed.
You can sleep head to toe. There's nothing wrong. They would have had room.
I mean, brother, you can figure it out.
Sleep head to toe.
No, it depends
if he really was concerned about being no funny business.
Mike will always take care of himself before he accommodates other kind of things, which
that's
I think
true.
Is another nice little insight into how Mike operates, in that he said specifically he didn't want this thing to happen and then does nothing to ensure that it doesn't happen.
Right.
Instead, he goes to a different bed so he can get some sleep.
Not only does nothing to ensure that it doesn't happen, but he also encourages the thing to happen by telling Vinny, if you don't get with my sister, we're going to have an issue.
Yeah.
Again, what did you think was going to happen?
And then fighting with him about not having game earlier. I mean, Mike has planted the seeds, and this is the fruit that they are bearing.
Exactly. So we're at the next morning. Polly, Mike, and Ron are on the boardwalk grabbing coffee, and Mike comes to the realization that his sister probably hooked up with Vinny the night before, only to be informed by Ron that she, in fact, hooked up with him another night before that, to which Mike responds, "Well, nobody told me," and they all just start laughing.
They leave him there to think about it on the bench, which at work early, it looks like they have coffee in their hands.
Yeah.
Looks like they got to work early.
The guys are working at the Shore Store on this day, so that's why they're out on the boardwalk so early. They're sitting around not working, and they're talking about going to Atlantic City that night. And Mike says, "I like my clothes like I like my women. Options." And Polly goes, "You like your girls like you like your underwear. Dirty." Just so good.
Yeah, good little response.
It's so good. So back at the house, everyone's packing for this overnight trip as if they are going away for a week. They have the biggest suitcases that are going on this trip. It's an overnight trip. Let's just clarify that. One night. They'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. I think I'm guilty of overpacking. Look, the deal is that one time I underpacked and I had to wear the same shirt for like a week. And ever since then I loaded up.
I have to say, your packing habits never cease to amaze me because you pack the weirdest things.
What, like what?
So the one time that we were moving Sister Lori to Denver and did it not occur to you to look up what the weather was going to be there? Because it was definitely snowy and cold.
No.
It was early in the year. And what you packed was a light jacket and a pair of shorts.
Yeah, packed what I usually wear.
So we were moving our sister in snow.
I was prepping for some hard labor of moving boxes to and from and in and out of things, vehicles, rooms. So I packed, so I could have freedom of movement. No one told me it was going to snow like 15 feet of snow.
Is it not a habit when you're going somewhere that you look to see what the weather is?
No, I assume that it's going to be beautiful just like here is in Texas. Oh my gosh,
and that's why we've always had this issue with you. You overpack, but you don't pack the right things.
Yeah, I will admit that I was very unprepared for that Colorado. I was pretty much cold the entire time that we were there.
There has been other times that you've done that too. So it's not a one-off.
True. Any other things that you don't like about me specifically?
Yeah, I'll think of them. Okay. They're coming. Just hold on.
Well, so how do you pack then?
I pull up the weather app and I check to see what the weather's going to be. At the house, everyone's packing for this overnight trip. Once again, they're only going overnight. So I was curious to see how far Atlantic City was from the Jersey Shore. It's about an hour's drive.
Oh, that's
from
not bad.
Seaside Heights. It's really not bad. So it makes sense why they would go and want to do like a little day trip out there.
That's fun.
Atlantic City, from what I understand, is like a little Vegas.
Yeah.
They have casinos. They have like the big resorts out there. I've never personally been.
Neither have I, but I've heard the same exact thing. It's like a little tiny version of Vegas.
Yeah. They're staying at the Tropicana Casino and Resort.
Tropicana,
they're at the Trop. So Coco I've stayed. Cabana. No, that's a completely different thing. But as soon as everyone gets there, they pass out in the suite, except for Snooki, who's walking around the suite in a robe that's way too big for her. Mm-hmm. She's got her glass of champagne. She decides that she wants to get in the jetted tub, and she puts way too much bubble solution in there, because in minutes, there's a wall of bubbles that's like taller than her.
Engulfing her.
It's towering over her in the tub.
Yeah.
She's just like sitting there making conversation with no one.
With the crew.
Herself.
Yeah, just bantering with the crew and kind of riffing a little bit.
There's a shot of her drinking her champagne through a hole in the bubble wall, which I thought was really cute. So a little later on, everyone is finally up and they're getting ready for their night out. Mike changes in and out of like three or four different shirts and... Ron makes a great observation. He says, I think Mike has insecurity issues but at the same time, I think, the cockiness is to cover the insecurity, which we've also made that observation.
Totally. Yeah.
Is it appropriate that he needed to change three or four times? I mean, they're just going to dinner and then clubbing.
Again, it goes back to Mike's, insecurity in that. You got to look good to feel good.
He's asking everyone, does this look good? Do you think I should wear this shirt? Just like, just make a decision. You look the same in that t-shirt as you do in the button down. It doesn't matter.
I thought it was also funny that almost everyone else in the group is wearing black except for Mike. Everyone else seems to be a little dressed up. Oh, really? What was Jenny wearing?
She looked nice. She was wearing a yellow cocktail dress, which she tends to favor yellow. Anyways, a little later, they're having dinner at a place called Il Verdi, which actually seems like it would be a really good Italian food. And interestingly enough, it's actually still in operation to this day.
No way. We should go and record an episode there.
The menu looks to die for, really? Man. Like, I got a couple of things to rattle off for you here. Yeah. Gnocchi con ricotta alla vodka. Frutti di mare.
Oh, okay.
Parmigiana. Anyways, all of which, like, the menu looks really good. Like, my mouth was watering. I want to go eat at this place.
Pretty good Italian accent there, sis.
And we should. We should go record an episode there.
Do you think it's probably not classy? It's probably too classy for us to be like, hey, pipe down a little bit when we're trying to do this.
It's hard to tell at what point in the dinner the shit talking starts, but Ron is the first one to kind of pipe up and like kick it off by making fun of Vinny's outfit. And, you know, he's kind of just saying, did your mom pick that outfit out for you? I don't know. Like, why was this necessary to go there?
I don't know.
I think they're just annoyed with each other. Yeah. They're all over one another.
Looking for little, any tiny little thing that you can latch on to.
The guys are going back and forth, and Vinny triggers Mike by saying, go change your shirt, which Mike was already insecure about. He buttoned to push on Mike.
Yeah.
And then Mike retaliates by claiming that he has ammo on every single person there except Polly. And pan to Polly, who's just sitting there quietly smiling and drinking his wine.
It's like, leave me out of this, man. Why do you think you don't have any ammo on? Because I don't.
He stays quiet. Involved. He stays quiet, man. And at this point, Mike is on like another level of aggression. Like, he has taken it to the next level that no one else is on. Like, no one else. Everyone was joking up until Mike decided to take it up a notch.
Everyone else was kidding, and Mike took it personally.
Mike starts in with the personal remarks about Ron's unibrow.
Yeah.
And Sam sweetly defends Ron by saying, I like your unibrow. And then Sam and Ron hit back, calling him Popeye. Big arms, little body. I was like, actually, that's not wrong. Big arms, little body.
Easy button.
Again, an easy button, but like Mike started it. Mm-hmm. Like, he started in on the personal comments.
He certainly did.
Unfortunately, at this point, Mike oddly turns on Snooki.
Yeah, just wild.
Like, the most vulnerable, like, the most harmless one.
That's a good way to put it.
The table decides to turn on her because at this point, she's like, she's had enough of him, and she calls him annoying and claims that no one likes him in the house.
And no one says otherwise.
No one says otherwise.
Makes that comment.
Yeah.
And, which I think Mike felt, because I felt it.
Yeah. And it's here that we get a very unfortunate low blow for Mike, where he essentially calls her fat.
Yeah.
She goes, can I have a roll, please? She's trying to divert the attention, like, away from her. Like, let's just stop talking about this and move on. Can I have a roll, please? Mike says, don't worry, you got a couple.
Yeah. And that really, really puts a pin in the entire kind of whole thing that was going
on. The whole night from this point takes a complete turn.
From that moment.
And Mike is very much villainized, I feel like.
Warranted.
From this point out.
Low blow.
And I think this will unfortunately stick with him and like carry through the rest of this season, unfortunately.
Like we kind of said at the very top of the episode, everyone's kind of really settling into their like really, really true characters here. And I think that this is one of those moments where douchebag version of Mike is at the forefront of everything right now, because that comment really comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Very unnecessary.
It was just so uncalled for.
At least in the way that it's presented to us. I mean, the comment is unnecessary, you know, without the show, you know, at all, you know, being involved in it. But the way that it's presented to us, it kind of comes out of left field, and it is a really low blow.
It was just so aggressive. Like, it was so uncalled for.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, you can feel the whole shift at the table. Yeah. Jenny's face, like, immediately twists into like shock, because she's sitting in between Snooki and Mike at this table. So she's like caught in between them. Her face is shocked. Vinny says, that's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Ron and Sam are not amused at all. They're across the table shaking their heads. Everyone is silent. Even Polly's demeanor, dude, like, changes at this moment, and you can see he's like disappointed by what Mike just said. And in shock, Jenny is smiling in this moment, but I think that's her coping mechanism. Like, I don't think she, like, was laughing at what he wanted to be a joke. Because in her confessional, she admits that she was shocked at the comment. And she just couldn't believe that he would even go there. And she even tells Mike in that moment that he deserves to get punched in the face for that. Snooks is sitting there, like, processing what has just been said to her, and you can see she's debating, like, what to say or do in this moment, and it almost looks like she's, like, holding back tears, which, like, she ultimately gets up and leaves the table, and Jenny goes after her, and Mike doesn't. So he stays there, and he's still trying to, like, defend his actions, even though the roommates are telling him, dude, just go apologize. Like, you don't talk like that to a woman. Like, go after her and apologize to her, and he won't.
Yeah, he's like, I'll wait for her to come back.
Yeah, it's let like, her come to me and get
you,
the apology.
If you want to try to repair the damage that you've just done with everyone, go after her.
Yeah, but he has no interest in repairing any kind of anything
because he doesn't think he's wrong. Yeah, his tactics are just no good.
It's at this point whenever Snooks and Jenny are like in the bathroom, you know, Snooks is crying a little bit, and we learn that she has, you know, had a body image issue that started back in high school, which led her to a eating disorder, and that caused her to like wind up at a weight of 70 pounds or something like that.
Crazy.
in high school, which is like very, I mean, that's serious. And she's a tiny girl, so yeah. I can see how that would come to pass, right. But
you really do see the just how deeply that one little offhand comment really, really affects her, because no one's gonna know that that was an issue.
Do you think that Mike knew maybe that was?
I don't.
An issue, because how did he know that button to push her?
I think it's just
he would have never said that to Jenny. You know, he would have never said that to Sam. This is like a very targeted
It doesn't feel
insult.
But it doesn't feel targeted because he knows that information. It feels targeted because she said rolls and immediately that fired off something in Mike's brain that he made the comment to. And plus, that comment, especially with girls, is just very low-hanging fruit. It's easy to grab and it's easy to throw. I don't think it was targeted in the sense that Mike knew that she had a history with that.
Right.
I think it was just one of those very shitty things that Mike just says without thinking.
Because is that something that guys know? Like, you just don't ever comment on a girl's weight. Like,
right.
It's too skinny, too fat, like anything in between. You just don't talk about
that.
Just
leave it alone, yeah.
You don't go...
For me, it would be my work ethic. Like, somebody telling me that I don't...
You're lazy.
Hard. Yeah, that would be
like a blow to you.
Very, very insulting to me.
But is there something like body image wise? Because that's what this is. I mean, yeah, as much as like you say you can control body weight, sometimes you actually really can't.
Yeah,
like, there are issues where you can't control it.
I don't know.
Junk size, you can't control it.
Yeah, I guess it would be, yeah, something like that.
Really, any kind of personal remark is just a low blow.
I guess physicality, yeah. Like, I'm trying to think, like in high school, like, you know, the bigger and stronger you were. Like,
so I guess, would it be like someone calling you tiny?
I'm average height. Maybe it is height.
whoa, okay. We found the button. Yeah. Well, essentially here, you know, Snooks claims that she would like eat a cracker a day and say that she was full. Mm-hmm. So this was obviously like something she really dealt with.
Yeah.
And she said it was actually fairly recent too, that she finally kind of got over
within a year.
Within the last year, she finally was able to kind of put that away, but then to have it come up again. Out of nowhere,
at a family dinner.
Yeah, from a guy. It just is starting to like make her.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot. It really does paint. And you know, if you listen to the show, I generally try to give Mike the benefit of the doubt. There's no excuse that I can present to make what he did justify what
in
he
any
did.
Way, yeah.
It was just mean.
Well, like the trooper she is, though, she ends up going back to the table to finish the dinner, and that's kind of the end of that. We don't get any more conversation back at the table or anything. So right. I don't know if Mike actually did apologize to her.
He does.
At the table.
He doesn't apologize at the table. That I think that comes a little bit later on in the episode.
So yeah, cut two. We're post-dinner. They're all back up in the suite. It looks like they went back up there to kind of hang out for a little bit, let some time pass between dinner and going to the club and to change. I think they wanted to like wear different stuff to the club or whatever. Snooks is, you know, she's having a hard time. She's in the bathroom crying. The girls go in to console her. Mike ends up like giving her a half-assed apology. Mike, that was just such a low blow. I was wrong. I admit it. I was wrong and I'm sorry. But yes, but can you just listen to where I'm cutting? No. I get it. Like, I was wrong. Like, he keeps doing that where she'll try to speak and he cuts her off because he doesn't want to hear that.
He does remain silent for a good bit after she does that. And I genuinely took, look, Mike knows what he did was wrong. I mean, it's very, at least it's obvious to me that he knows he fucked up because of the backlash that he got immediately after that comment. But even at some point, whenever he's talking to Snooki and apologizing, she says, you know, I had an eating disorder, and his head drops, which I saw immediately because it is out of character for him to be that
small,
dejected at something that that he said, you know. So I genuinely took it as he didn't know the ammo that he was playing with, and the gun went off and it hit someone and caused more damage than he thought it was going to cause.
And that's when she says, you have to be careful what you say, because the way that you talk sometimes is just very harsh. Yeah. Like, you guys get on each other that way, but you can't do that to girls. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't.
Right.
You have to watch what you say.
Yeah, Mike would never talk to his sister like that, but for some reason,
it's okay to talk to Nicole that way.
I took that apology as fairly sincere, especially when he says, I was wrong, because that's not something that you really hear Mike say. You hear him say, I'm sorry, a lot, but I think as far as I can remember, you don't really hear him say, I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I'm glad that they generally made amends here. I think trust is broken for sure.
But again, it's a quick fix.
It's a quick patch. That
doesn't last for very much longer.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, trust is broken here.
Certainly.
And again, like, he's just continuing to solidify his place as like the villain of the house.
Yeah.
Which will come into play as...
Here in a little bit.
Here in a little bit, and as the season goes on and in next season's coming up. So, whatever. We're at the club. The club is called Providence. It's now permanently closed. Okay. I looked that one up. Nice. It's not open anymore. Not sure what replaced it, if anything. Jen has changed into her half of a shirt.
That's right. Classic.
Yeah. Everyone is having a good time, it looks like. Vinny starts hooking up with some model girl. Mike claims he didn't know that this girl was Vinny's, but as soon as Vin walks away, Mike pulls a robbery on
her.
Commits
a robbery.
Vin realizes what happened when he gets back, and he says, dude, she has my saliva in her mouth. How do I taste? Like, he's annoyed.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Like,
because they're still fighting. This is how the form of fighting is taking place with all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's still all this tension between them. Ron and Sam end up leaving around, like, 4 a.m. Apparently, they had been there since midnight. So that's, like, several hours of, like, going hardcore.
That is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll give them the pass on that one. They're essentially on vacation.
Yeah.
So you got to dip, you know, early. Plus, they're a couple of weeks into this whole thing already. So I'll give that one to Sam and Ronnie. I would have left well before that.
When was the last time you stayed up till 4 a.m. to do anything?
The other night, but that's just because I couldn't fall asleep.
Oh, insomniac.
Yeah, that was the only reason.
Nah, that's not what I'm talking about. when was the last time you intentionally, for fun, stayed up till 4 a.m.?
College? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not any time since I've worked.
Yeah.
I mean, can't remember. That's a lot.
God, that sounds awful.
It really doesn't sound
and
fun.
And man, do we sound like old booms.
No, a couple of years ago, that would have been the highlight, you know, but not these days.
Jen is telling Mike that she doesn't feel well. You know, it's towards the end of the night. You got all that Italian food sitting in your stomach. You've been mixing wine. You've been mixing liquor, champagne. Yeah. That's a bad mix.
A lot.
And you've been jostling it all around in there, like dancing.
This is doing a little dance right now, just so you know.
That's a bad mix. So Jen is starting to feel that not feeling well at all. So she tells Mike she doesn't feel well. He tells her, go to the bathroom. Like, why are you telling me? Mm-hmm. She goes to try and get Mike to tell him, you know, I just got sick. Like, please take me back up to the room, because she doesn't want to go alone. And that's fair. Like,
that is fair. Yeah. But why Mike is my thing. Why is she so adamant that Mike be the one to take her home? I mean, she got Polly, she has Vinny,
Where
has Ronnie.
Where were they, though? Because I didn't see any of them in their general area. In her drunkenness, did she, like, not see them? Had they already gone up?
And that's exactly what I chalked it up to. Is she's just that drunk that she can she's not thinking about other things.
I see you here right now, and so you need to help me. Yes. Like, you're the only one I can come to right now for help. That's what I chalked it up to.
Yeah.
But it is weird that she fixates on getting him to take her up.
I thought it was strange, especially after what happened earlier, you know?
Yeah. You know, she's still trying to convince him. She's like in his face, just telling him, you need to take me home now. Like, this night is over. He immediately starts being an ass to her, back to her.
Yeah.
Saying, like, why does it have to be me? Why does it have to be me? Where's Snooki? Like, tell her to take you. He's not moving. He's not getting up. So Jen slaps him on the top of the head.
Yeah.
It made a little slap noise.
Yeah, she does.
And his head moved like forward.
Hey, what are you doing?
It's even funnier because she slaps him while he's got this girl sitting in his lap. Yeah. So it's like even more embarrassing.
Demoralizing. Yeah, like Jenny knows what she's doing.
Absolutely knows what she's doing. And Mike promptly has her kicked out of the club right. by the bouncers. Yeah. And she ends up like somehow making it back to the suite okay, but like with the threat of like, wait till you get back home.
Yeah.
Just you wait.
Yeah.
And the rest of the roommates eventually make it back up to the hotel room, and Vinny is dogging Mike about the robbery that he pulled on him earlier, like wants to make sure that everyone knows that Mike didn't steal that girl, but rather Vinny let him have her yeah. as his sloppy seconds. Uh-huh. As Vinny is like making his point, Jenny comes out from her cave of a bedroom back there, walks up behind Vinny and startles him and pushes him out of the way and starts like batting, slapping at Mike.
JWoww comes out of that room with the intensity of someone who's going to do something.
She's like ready to throw down. Like yeah, it's in her eyes. You can see there's focus.
She came out of that room and me, I was like, it's clobbering time.
Yeah. She knows what the mission is and she's about to have her way.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike ends up like grabbing her for a split second while Vinny tries to help restrain her. And Vin is asking like, why are you doing that? Why are you hitting him? Stop doing that. And Jen is trying to explain to him, well, Mike got me kicked out of the club. Mike starts mouthing off, but what he miscalculates is his proximity to her. And I'm just have to say, again, this is a bonehead move on his part. If you're going to start mouthing off, why don't you take a couple of steps away from the person you've offended? Because Jenny gets an arm free from Vinny's hold on her, and she roundhouses Mike in the jaw.
Yeah.
Contact. So hard. Yeah. Like, you can feel this hit.
Yeah.
And contact.
Mike was so close because Mike didn't think that anything like that was going to happen. So right. She didn't think that Jenny had the balls to do something like that. But the only person in this whole cast who's got the biggest balls is Jenny. So yeah. he should have known something
what
was coming.
I'm saying, if you're going to start talking trash about someone, at least take a couple of steps away from them.
He knows now.
He knows now. So she makes contact, breaks free of Vinny, walks away and says good night as security bum rushes into the room like a little too late.
Yeah.
And Mike is left shocked. He's holding his now swollen jaw uh-huh. and it's just like vengeance, yeah. like vindication, V for vendetta, yeah. like all the V yeah. words that you could yeah. throw out there. It's just
victory.
Like, thank you, Lord, yeah. that someone stepped up. And did what needed to be done.
He had it coming.
He really had it coming on that one. And yeah. boy, does he get it. So.
And then once again, we get left on the cliffhanger of what's going to happen after this whole thing has gone down.
And that's the end of the episode.
So there was so much that happened in this episode. And I'm actually looking down right now. This is the longest episode that we've ever recorded. And I think that's because of... all these episodes are all the same length. They're 44, 45 minutes, something like that. But this one just is so packed with stuff.
So jam-packed. And I think this is probably the one that I've taken the most notes on as well, just because of how much there is. The physical boundaries are like starting to drop. It's just like, I'm not going to hesitate at this point to not hit you. So watch out.
Which isn't the last time that this happens with the gang.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse from here. So what did you think about the episode in general? Out of all 7 episodes now, where does this one rank for you?
This one's up there with stuff. And I kind of keep saying that now this feels like a Jersey Shore episode. This feels like a real Jersey Shore episode because now the conflict isn't external. It's now internal everything's starting to break down.
We left off on external conflict whenever Sam and Ron got in that fight on the boardwalk with that couple. And now it's kind of moving indoors.
It's starting to eke its way inward, which like from the like psychological kind of standpoint, you can kind of see how everything's starting to deteriorate where everyone was pretty much on the same side when they first kind of got in there, but now the external strife is so minimal compared to what's going on the inside of the friend group.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really interesting to see how things are turning out and just how much tempers are starting to flare out because of all the drama that happens.
And I think it's another really good transitional episode for what's to come. Like, I don't remember what exactly happens in the next episode, but it does feel like they're setting a lot of these things up for what's to come. I mean, Mike has, as we talked about, is establishing himself as kind of a villain in this house. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't think he wants to be, but he kind of like has a tendency to be a douchebag. Yeah, so
totally.
He's starting to get on people's nerves.
Yeah.
People are taking notice and they're not going to take it anymore from him.
And Mike has done that act for so long that he can't course correct. It's like almost you can't teach an old dog new tricks when that people say that saying, it's for stuff like this. Like, he cannot figure out how to not be a douchebag.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the episode?
So, I mean, I thought it was really good. It's probably, like you said, it's probably one of my top episodes so far out of what we've done. Like, I really like the episode where Angelina leaves. I think that's another really good one.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about her since she left the show. Good riddance.
I really enjoyed this episode. There was so much to unpack here. But
definitely. I think it's only going to get better as we go on into the next episodes. But as for this one, that's where we're going to leave it for now. Sis, any closing remarks?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, don't forget that if you want to be watching along with us, you can stream all of these episodes on Hulu right now. You can get it on MTV, you can get it on Prime, Paramount Plus, all the other place, Apple TV, like just, you know, give it a little search up and you'll be able to find it and watch along with us. I think it's fun if you like watch the episode first and then come and hang out with us on the podcast or vice versa. Listen to us first and go make your own thoughts on the episode. So other than that, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We are at Macaroni Rascals Podcast. Post pretty much, you know, content you didn't ask for there. If you want to kill some time or whatever, we got some funny stuff that gets posted there.
Little highlights that we put on from little clips of the of each episode.
A little meme every now and then.
Sis, where can they find you on social media?
So they can find me on Insta at christy.a.bryan. Christy with a Y, Brian with a Y.
And you can find me, Stephen Lizarraga, on Instagram. It's StephenLizarraga. And with that, we're going to go ahead and cut this one off.
Also, shout out to our cousin at New Orleans _cowboy for giving us these sweet beats that you're going to hear on the intro and the outro. He was kind enough to lend those to us.
Yeah, so. And actually a couple of those tracks are going to be coming up on the highlights that we've already put out and the ones that are coming up there. So yeah, really cool to have him involved in that.
If you like what you're hearing, go ahead and give him a follow. Yeah, and
great little composer.
Yeah, he's really good. Thanks, cuz. We love you.
Yeah, love you, bro. Okay, so that's going to leave it for us. Let's kind of leave it right there. We'll see you on the next episode, y'all.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.